they only have this as their group date.
Gabriella, I want to move over one seat so I can see everybody. Thank you. Good evening. We'll start in about 1 minute. Good evening. I hope you all had a good day. The first day of the three-week period can tend to be a little bit intense, and I hope none of you had that experience. Please join me in saying the Ana B'Koach. If you don't know it, it's okay. And as I said on Sunday, we won't really explain what this is until Sunday coming, and maybe even the following Wednesday that we will get to it. Ana B'Koach G'dulat Shemincha Tatir Tzerura Aleph Bet Gimel Yud Tav Tzadi Kabel Rinat Amcha Sagvenu Taharenu No Fresh iron, Sintet Nun. Na Gibor, Dorshe Yehudcha, Kevavat Shamrem. Nun Gimel Dalet Yud Kafshin, Barchem Taharem, Rachame Sitkatcha, Tamid. Gamlem Betet Resh Saritav Gimel Chasin Kadosh Berov Tuvcha Nael Adatach Het Kuf Bet Het Nunayim Yachid Geye Lamcha Bnei Zokrein Kedushatah Yud Gimel Lamed Pei Zayin Kuf Shavatenu Kabel Ushma Tziakatenu Yodea Talumot Shin Kuf Vav Tzadi Yud Tav. And the letters for the month of Tammuz, the Chet and the Tav. And the last verse we say in a whisper, which we refer to as silently, but I will say it out loud for the purposes of teaching. Baruch Shem Kivod Malchuto Le'olam Vayed. And now I'm going to read a verse from the Zohar to bring the energy of the Zohar into our place. I'm reading from the Parasha of Pinchas, section 42, Lighting upon means words of reconciliation. Verse 236. Vayhi Noam Adonai Eloheinu aleinu maaseh yadeinu kononeh aleinu maaseh yadeinu kononeh. Tu vayifka b'makom milei b'yusinihu v'yata shimsha d'kadisha l'gabei sifara bala Legabei ait ta mikan delaye ot lebaal lemeite. Legabei ita ilahave vemile viusin. Vefaisa la dikti vaifka bamakom ulvatar vayalech sham. Kad hava ate Yaakov. Mecharan ma'chiti v'yifke'u bo shiddat hi lefaisa le'lemeite le'gaba again, and he lighted on a certain place. It's a verse from the book of Bereshit, Genesis. This means that he spoke words of conciliation. Namely, as he has already noted, there is no meeting that is not conciliation, because the sun was set. The Holy One, which is Zerampin, comes to the moon, which is Malchut, the husband to the wife. It follows that it is not right for a husband to come to his wife without words of appeasement, to placate her, for it is written, and he lighted on a certain place, which means that he addressed her with words of appeasement, and afterwards, and he stayed there the night. But what does Scripture tell us about his return from Haran? Met him. Bereshit, another verse from Bereshit, namely Malchut sent messengers to placate him so that he would come in to her. This verse in the Zohar is taking various phrases from the Torah, from the Bible, from the sections of Bereshit, from different places. It's taking the phrase from when Jacob left his family to go meet his wives, and is taking a phrase from when he was returning with his wives after 22 years. And those Zohar is putting these two phrases together, even though they're separated by many words in the Torah. Zohar is putting these together and explaining that these are all dealing with relationships between the Sefirot, which is something we will touch on tonight, but not really go into detail, but to give you some background. But a lot of the words in the Zohar are sexual in nature, are romantic, they're poetic, they're very beautiful, actually. But most people don't understand them because they're metaphors. They're metaphors that, that we take for granted, that we think we understand. But Rabbi Ashlag explained very, very clearly, there's a language, a vocabulary in the Zohar that is nowhere else. There's a language in the Torah itself that is nowhere else. Both of these languages are referring to spiritual things using physical words and physical things that are being described by words that we are used to. So a place is a metaphor. Hamakom in Hebrew is a name of God, but we translate it as the place. Where is the place? The place is wherever you are. Coming into her, which is another phrase that was used here, a metaphor is talking about the relationship between men and women. All of this is the codes that are involved in the various levels of our Torah, and I'm teaching us how to live our lives. And that really is, moving on, what I teach. What Kabbalah teaches, not what I teach. I teach what I was taught by my teachers. I teach things that I've learned on my own as well, but I will always tell you when I'm teaching you something that isn't accepted by other teachers. You're on a spiritual path to study what is taught here. That means you want to expand your consciousness. It means you want to get closer to Hashem, to closer to God. And yet, these tools that we will teach are good for people, whether they're an agnostic, whether they're an atheist, whether the most religious human being on the planet. The tools were gifts from God, gifts from the Creator, gifts from the universe. Whatever word you wish to use, or even just gifts that are coincidence, all of it is there for you to be utilized. And these spiritual paths is what we are talking about, teaching so that you can use it. There's no pre-requirement to use them. You don't have to be Jewish. You don't have to be older. You don't have to be male. You don't have to be anything except a seeker after truth. And as we will start most classes with, the rule number one in these classes is never believe a word I say. But please try the things I suggest to you. And at the end of 20 weeks, 2 months, it's up to you how much you use them. You will see changes within yourself. You will see yourself proving through yourself that these tools work for you. And Chassidus Shalom, God forbid they don't work, stop. Our scientists teach us that there are microbes that we don't see in everything around us. Our scientists teach us that there are atoms that we don't see. There are things that we don't smell. There are things that, lights that we can't see, infrared, ultraviolet, etc., ultrasound that we can't hear. Why do we have senses that are limited? We didn't go into the reason, and I'm not going to answer it today, but it's a question that Kabbalah does answer. There is a specific reason why God, the universe, the Creator, made these senses limited. Because we are in a world of illusion. We are in an upside-down world. We are in a world that is designed for us to search and seek for truth with limited tools. Those limited tools are our senses. The Kabbalah on Sunday coming will start to speak about how to expand those tools so that you are more in connected, more in tune, have greater ability to use that intuitive sense that every human being has access to, but Western society doesn't train you to utilize. Any questions? Okay. The basic question for this night's class is, why am I here? What is the purpose of this physical world? Why are there 6.5 billion people on this planet? And we hear about the peasants, excuse my expression, in China, who work for $30 a year. How do they survive? Could you live on $30 a year in this country? Do they live on $30 a year? They survive, but do they live? Are they happy? Did anybody in this room know them? All I can tell you is I visited them. I've toured their places of homes, their locations, but I don't know them. But those people and we have the same reason for being in this world. And we will talk about that tonight. There was a moment that's quite all right. Please join us. We started the class and we're recording. So please join us. We are starting at the moment of creation. The moment of creation, wherever that means, whatever that means to each an individual. The first word in the Bible, in the Torah, is the Hebrew word Bereshit. It's a famous word. You all know it. You all know what it means. You've all heard the translation. Batya speaks Hebrew. What does it mean, Batya? Translate it, please. In a beginning. Anybody ever heard that translation before? No, you heard it as in the beginning. Is there a difference between in the beginning and in a beginning? The answer is yes. The beginning means there is one beginning. In a beginning means there are many. We are talking about Bareshit, in the beginning, the first moment of creation. There was a creator who we cannot even talk about. We cannot name him. He's not God, because God's his tool. There is a creator. We cannot put a name to him. We cannot connect to him. We are so far below him that I can spend hours saying nothing because I can't describe him. The Kabbalists teach us that whatever we can name, we can connect to. One of the stories, again, in that first section of the Bible, God brought all the animals as well as all the things to Adam, and he named them. What did he name? He used the Hebrew letters, the Hebrew language, and he named the essence of a thing, the internal aspect of a thing. So in the Hebrew language, my name is Hanoch. Hanoch comes from the Shoresh, the root that means teacher. It comes from another root, that means at the same time dedication. It also comes, has the energy, and I spoke about this on Sunday, but there's people who haven't heard it. My name has the connection to hidden wisdom, because the word chen, which we translate as grace, which if any of you can tell me what grace is, I will be very surprised. But grace, the word in Hebrew chen, means hidden wisdom. And the last two letters of my name is the gematria of 26, which is a hint, a connection to the tetragrammaton, the four-letter name of God, that comes from the frame of mercy. So I am here to give you hidden wisdom about the tetragrammaton. That's what I do. I teach what I studied. And I am doing my spiritual work by doing this. And why? Because everybody in this room was here before in a previous lifetime. And I was teaching in that previous lifetime a different spiritual path, a path that led you astray. And I have to make amends by giving you what is truth today, my truth. Whether you make it your truth is up to you. And we spoke on Sunday about what truth is and the illusion of truth, of the fish tank that has four different colored glass, and each person sees the fish a different color. But there's only one color that the fish is. But each person sees it the way they wish to, the way their senses are programmed to see it, based on the world that they live in. There is a creator. And the creator says, I want to be revealed. Who does he say it to? Himself, the universe that doesn't exist yet. I want to be revealed. And at that moment of I want to be revealed, the world came into existence. All four worlds, all five worlds came into existence. He spoke, and things happened. Things were created. That is the beginning. Our Bible starts at the moment when it says there was, God said there was was light and there was light. But I'll remind you that the sun and the moon were not created until the fourth day. So what kind of light was he talking about? Wisdom, correct. And well, why did the Kabbalists use the word light? Why did the Torah teach us to use the word light, which is or in Hebrew? Or has a gematria of 207. The Hebrew letters that make up 207 are a resh is 200 and a zayin is 7. That's the Hebrew word raz, which means secret. Light is a code word for secrets. Also, if I take light in our physical world, not sunlight, not, but if I take a candle and I light it, and I take that same candle and I light two more candles, did I diminish the first candle? Those two are all three lights, six more. Have I diminished any of the candles? Have I increased the light? This is the essence of the Creator. Light in our physical world represents the essence of the Creator in all worlds. That essence is to increase and to give goodness, because light, when you think about it, is there anything better than the warmth of the sun? The Talmud tells us it's 1/60th of the pleasure of Gan Eden, the Garden of Eden. Light is sharing. The essence of the Creator is to share goodness with its creations. The statement, I want to be revealed, automatically brought into existence creatures who would reveal it. Because spiritual entities cannot be sensed. There's no way for a spiritual entity to move that bottle. At least not in our physical world. We do know of people who have psychic powers, psychic connections, who can move those things. But for most people, you can't move it. The purpose of being revealed is to be able to do things. And that's why the world that we live in, the physical world, is called the world of action. But we're far from the world of action at the moment we're talking about. We're talking about the moment of creation. God, the Creator, the universe, whatever word you want to call it, asked to be revealed. And a creature came into existence who was willing to reveal it. That combination of a fulfillment and a desire to receive light, which is the fulfillment, and a vessel, a desire to receive. That combination we call Ein Sof. Hebrew words that mean, it translated as the endless world. On Sunday, somebody asked about infinity. The endless world is not limited. Infinity is limited.
By what?
By me. What does infinity mean? Then why don't you call it endless?
Because they are
infinite. They are not the same. Infinity is a component of endless, because there are different infinities. Infinity has a structure, a part. There's infinity A, infinity B, C, and so forth. And that's part of the mathematics of our modern day science. But what came into existence was the light, which is not the creator. Because if I can name something, I can understand it, I can connect to it. If I can describe what something is not, I can connect to it. I cannot describe the creator. And we are told, stay away from that discussion. It's a waste of time. But light, what came into existence from the thought of the creator of wanting to be revealed? Light we can talk about. Light is fulfillment. And at that same moment, the vessel, the creature, came into existence with a desire to receive the fulfillment of the light. That world, that structure of light and vessel in unity, we call endless, and so. Just for the record, En Sof has the same gematria as light, 207, to show you the unity. That time, that existence took place. It went on billions of years. But the Torah says there's 7 days of creation. I can discuss that with you at length if you wish, but the bottom line is, there is no disagreement between science and Torah. Torah includes every aspect of science in the world today. Torah includes everything. In fact, the creation, the blueprint for that creation is the Torah. And that's why we study it. The endless world came into existence, and it was very simple. The moment some aspect of the vessel felt a lack, the light fulfilled that lack, so the vessel didn't even know it lacked. Just the tinge of a thought, I'm hungry. The vessel got fed. I want to be loved. The vessel had some aspect of fulfillment associated with love. There was never a lack in the endless world. It's total fulfillment. It is everything we ever can consider, desire, want, whatever words you wish to put to it. The endless world is the light and the vessel in unity. Now I'm going to give you a metaphorical story about my friend and I. My friend is a very wealthy man, and he likes food. And as you can see, I'm a large person. I like food. But he has the resources to provide it. So he takes me to lunch. Initially, once a week, we'd go to lunch at a very fancy restaurant, and we'd have a wonderful meal. Wine. All of the great foods of the world. And I would appreciate the conversation and the meal, and I really did appreciate the fact that he paid for it. Next week, it happened again. And eventually, we got to know each other so well, he was inviting me to lunch every day. And every day, day after day, he picked up the check. And we had a wonderful time, wonderful conversation, really wonderful food. There is nothing that I was wrong with any of those meals. But I didn't like it. Why do you think I didn't like it? Yes?
Because I felt like you wanted to give something back.
I felt like I wanted to give something back to him. I wanted to earn it. I wanted to share with him. Just once, let me pick up the check today. No, you can't afford it. The next day. Let me pick up the check today. No, it's all right. It's just enough that you're here. We enjoy each other's company. Let me share. I'll pick up the check again. And it got to the point where I no longer liked going out to eat with this man. That's what took place in the endless world. The Kabbalists call it Lechem Mizayon, bread of shame. The more that you eat, the more uncomfortable you become, because you don't earn it. I'm going to make some statements now that you may agree with, you may disagree with. Wealthy people have children with major psychological problems. It's proven scientifically, graphically, with statistics. What are the problems? The children are given everything material and even emotional support, but they don't earn it. Lechem Mizayon, bread of shame. What happens in our world is a reflection of what took place in the endless world. But that was on a much bigger scale, much more intense, much stronger energy. What I feel shame because I cannot provide for my family, God forbid. Or I feel shame because I cannot share with somebody who won't let me share with them. Or I'm receiving from somebody and I don't feel I've earned it. That shame I feel in this world is a pale reflection of what I felt in the endless world, because I was getting everything and earned nothing. And so the vessel said to the light, I'm not earning it. I don't like it. I no longer want to receive from you. Now you're the fulfillment. You're the light. Your job, you were created by the Creator to bring fulfillment to the vessel. And in so doing, allow the vessel to reveal the Creator. And you say, your job is to fulfill what the creature wants. The creature wants not to be fed. How do you accomplish that? It's a paradox. It's very difficult. How do you accomplish giving the creature what it wants, not being fed, being allowed to die, God forbid, and still do your job of making sure it stays alive? It's like the image of the powerful force meeting the immovable object. What happens? The Creator created the light in a way that the light could handle this, and He created something called Tzimtzum. Tzimtzum is withdrawal into itself, leaving a space, an empty space, for the vessel to become a creator, a co-creator, a co-fulfiller of other parts of the vessel. In the endless world, you have one vessel, one light, in unity. In our physical world, we have 6.5 billion people, all parts of the endless vessel, all with the opportunity to share with each other, to create with each other, to make things happen with each other. One has a desire to be a wealthy businessman. Another has a desire to be a homemaker. Another has a desire to sit in the sun all day. All of these desires can be fulfilled in this physical world, but not by each person themselves, only by interacting with other people. We, other people, are the endless vessel. And when we said to the light, no more, and the light said, Tsum-tsum, here's your empty space. Here's a world where you can be a co-creator, where you can share with other people, where you can earn the light. Now, I'm going to pass a paper around. I didn't bring copies because Rabbi Ashlag, who is one of the major teachers that we follow, he is very clear in his directions to us. Limit the amount of physical representation talking about spiritual things. It will confuse you. It will limit you. But my words up till now may seem clear, but they're really not, and I know they're not. And I want you to truly understand what I'm saying. And it's been discussed that we need to show this type of representation. So I'm going to pass around this diagram. And it's going to explain this process of we started in the endless world. We evolved down to the physical world through a process of five worlds, but we don't count one of them. Because the fifth world, the highest world, we refer to as Adam Katmon, the primordial man. We refer to that world, and it's really the light. There's almost no difference between the two. We progress down to the world of Atzilut, which means emanation, reaching out, extending yourself. And then we revolve down to the world of Bria, which is creation. And then we evolve down to the world of Yetzirah, which is formation. And then we evolve down to the physical world, actually to a world above that called Asiyah, action, and then to the physical world. So we all started in the endless world and have come down to the physical world for the purpose of removing the feeling of bread of shame, for the purpose of earning the light, for the purpose of sharing with other people and thereby earning the light. That's why we came into this world. Now, along this pathway, we made mistakes. We could have had a short path. We could have had Adam and Eve, who, had they listened to God and not eaten from the tree of knowledge, good and evil, that they were created on Friday, they would have manifested creation on Saturday, and we would have all returned to the endless. Done. End of conversation. No need for anything else. No need for all of this pain and suffering you see around you. But we made mistakes. It wasn't Adam who made the mistake. It wasn't Eve who made the mistake. It wasn't the snake who did his job very well. It was very simply part of the plan for you and I to come into existence. And therefore, we were present as part of the soul of Adam and Eve. And we participated in the eating of the tree of knowledge, good and evil. We participated in the sin. When we participated in that sin, we injected something called selfishness, the desire to receive for oneself alone was injected into humanity. And we are trying to get back to the Garden of Eden before the sin, where we have the desire to receive in order to share. We can do that in this world. That's part of what the tools of Kabbalah teach us, how to do that. And when you do that, you bring the Garden of Eden into the physical world. But all of that is metaphor. It's not, you're not understanding. And how does that make your life better? We come from the endless world. We sojourn in this world. And we return to the endless world. That is the process. Just like a tree has a fruit that buds, and when that fruit is budding, it's very bitter and green and very horrible to taste. It does not give pleasure to anything. Insects don't bother it. We don't eat it because we know it doesn't taste good. But give it a few months, a few weeks, different plants, different rates, and it grows and becomes sweet and pleasurable to eat. What's the difference between the bud and the fruit? Process, time, growth, evolution, maturation. We came into this world at the moment of the sin of Adam. We split into 6.5 billion of us. Actually, we only split into a smaller number, but that's a different discussion. We were given 6,000 world years of our years to achieve the correction of the sin of Adam. We are given 6,000 years, 7 times. We're actually given 7,000 years, but each of the 7,000th year represents a Shabbat. It represents the beauty and peace that we receive and recognize from Shabbat. Something that I'm not going to explain in this class, but we will have a whole class on what is Shabbat. So there's really 7,000 years we have to be in this plane of the physical world. And we have 7 of those. We're in the second one. They don't tell you that in religious school when you're 3 years old. They don't tell you that when you're 50 years old either. But the Kabbalah tells us that all the time. Because the Kabbalah is searching for truth. There are 7 cycles of 7,000 years. We are in the second. There is discussion that we no longer have to have the other 5. We can complete it in this 5. We will, at the year 6,000, if we are unable to bring the completion, the correction, earlier, we will have that destruction called Armageddon, and we will return to another 7,000-year cycles. We will have 1,000 years of peace after the destruction, and then a return to that wonderful life of another cycle. Or if we're able to, if we're able to bring it through our actions in this lifetime, in this cycle, we no longer have to go through those other 5. But we will always have that 1,000 years of peace, of plenty, of pleasure, of a world where the lion lies down with the lamb, the metaphorical terms of Isaiah, and so forth. Yes?
What do you mean by destruction?
If you listen to the prophecies built into the book of the Navis, the book of prophets, there are descriptions of chaos, of war, of pestilence, of pain, of suffering, and illness, and, you know, give me a word that means pain, means chaos, and that's what will happen.
But isn't that happening?
Was the Shoah more difficult? the Holocaust more difficult? Did more people die in the Shoah, in the Holocaust, than died in the previous war? 60 billion people died in the Second World War. 10 billion people died. 10 million people died in the First World War. What about the expulsion from Spain in 1492? Was that more difficult than the Shoah? Of course not. Will there be something worse than the Shoah? That's up to you and I. And why, one second, when I say it's up to you and I, we have the responsibility to make sure it doesn't happen. We have the responsibility to learn to use the tools of Kabbalah so that the world ends peacefully and does not have this chaos. Will we succeed? That's up to us. I don't mean to scare you or frighten you, because it's all about not saving the world. Don't go out and start an organization to save whales or dolphins or stop oil drilling or whatever else is outside of you. Because our job is to be a better person today than we were yesterday. And by so doing, progress step by step back to that peaceful place called the Garden of Eden. That is our job. And the tools that we will be given through the study and wisdom of Kabbalah will achieve that. And the minute I'm pointing out it's BP, it's the president, it's the world, it's the Iranians, the minute I'm pointing out, look at my hand. You see one finger pointing out, one finger pointing up to God or the Creator or the universe, whatever you call it, and three pointing back to me. Did you know that I caused the oil spill? I have never worked on an oil drilling platform in my life, and yet I know I accept my responsibility for having that. Did I buy gas? Did I create the market for the oil to be done? All of this is intertwined. We need to understand how, while I look at each of you, I see you separate from me. That's an illusion. We are connected to each and every human being on this world. Planet, to each and every animal on this planet, literally to each and every atom in the universe. When I change myself, I change every atom in the universe. Hard to believe, isn't it? An illusion is what our world is. Never believe a word I say. Try the things and prove to yourself whether I'm telling you the truth or not. And that will start primarily with next week. These first two classes were designed to give you information about our world and how we perceive it and have been trained to perceive it. But starting Sunday, we'll start to give you tools that will cause you to change yourself. Change yourself that you will be a better person today than you were yesterday, based on how you define a better person. There's no morality. There's no ethics. The Torah is not a book of ethics. It's not a book of morality. It's a set of rules and guidelines and codes and cause and effect that by studying we change ourselves and we choose to act in ways that lead us to less chaos, and in so doing we lead the universe to less chaos. And in so doing, we lead the universe to that peaceful resolution without all of that horrible Armageddon stuff. We started in the endless world. We all will return to the endless world. In spirituality, when something is the same consciousness, there is no difference between it. The endless world before the physical world and the endless world after the physical world is the same. Because the endless world doesn't change. It's still there now. It's going on. You and I are all there being fulfilled by the light. Did you go hungry today a little bit? Was there a moment in the day that you were hungry? Then you weren't in the endless world at that moment. We live in the illusion of this physical world. And the endless world exists now when we are in that endless world now. And we can connect to that endless fulfillment now. But you have to know how to do it. The name of the wisdom is Kabbalah. It comes from the roots, the Hebrew word kabel, which means to receive. You have to know how to receive. If you go to the ball stadium, soccer, baseball, football, basketball, and in that stadium, you have all of the best players in the world from every point in time and all of the best equipment. Will that game be good? Will you enjoy watching it? The answer is no, because nobody's given them the rules. They taught them to be good athletes. They taught them, here's a ball, a bat, a base, go play. But nobody ever said you have to have three outs to change sides. Nobody ever said three strikes and you're out. None of the rules were explained. And that's what life is in our world. We don't know what makes a good life. Look around you. Good people get sick and die. Horrible people live comfortably for the rest of their life after a few months in jail. Is this a fair world? Is this a just world? With our senses, it appears that it's not. And I'm going to tell you, this is the most perfect world around, ever. It is a perfect, just world. And I'm going to tell you a story that literally is a true story, took place 300 years ago. There was a person, a Jewish sage called the Baal Shem Tov, and his major student was the Maggid de Mezrich. And the Maggid de Mezrich had just started studying with him, and he went to the Baal Shem Tov and said, I look around the world and it's not just. Baal Shem Tov, listen to me and do what I say. Tomorrow, you know the grassy knoll across the river? I want you to know the bushes around the edge of it. I want you to go there and hide. I want you there before sunup and not to come back until after sundown. And I want you to observe and then come tell me what you saw. And Maggid de Mezrich did what his teacher told him. He went across the river. And he sat in the bushes where he was concealed, and he observed. And this is what he observed. A man came out of town, riding a horse, looked around and said, this is a beautiful spot where this tree is. He got down, and he rested. He took a little nap. And when he got up, his money belt fell off, and he didn't notice it. And he rode away. another man came with a wagon. He also said, this is a beautiful spot to rest. And he's got down, but before he fell asleep, he saw the money belt. Took the money, took the belt, hopped on the wagon, and is gone in a second. A third man comes out from town on a horse, and he sees the tree. It's a beautiful spring day, lies down, falls asleep, and here comes the first man rushing back looking for his money. And he sees the man lying where he was lying, so he wakes him up and starts pummeling him. Give me my money back. Third man has no idea what he's talking about. I didn't take your money. Forget it. Pummeling and pummeling and beating him up till the inch of his life. Finally, he realizes that, you know, he's gone through all of his pockets. He can't find the money. What is he going to do? So he throws the man away and goes back into town. Now it's sundown, and the Magid de Mezra goes back to the Baal Shem Tov. And the Baal Shem Tov says, so what did you see? And the Magid de Mezra said, I saw a man lose his money and another man get beat up for it. I saw an unjust world. Would you all agree that that's what the story says? But the Baal Shem Tov says, in the words of King David in Psalms, they have eyes but do not see. They have ears but do not hear. And he explains that the first man and the second man were partners in their last lifetime. And the first man had an argument with the second man and went to court. And the second man, the first man bribed the judge, who was the third man. The judge ruled against the second man, even though it was a just case. And so the first man actually owed his business partner, the second man, the money that he was picking up and running with. And the judge was owed a beating for taking the bribe and ruling incorrectly. We live in a perfectly just world if we will only open up our eyes and see. Sunday we will start to talk to you about the Anabakoach, the Hebrew letters, what their purpose of, how they existed in the Ein Sof, and how they exist today, and what we can use them for, what are their purpose, how can we use them as tools to control the physical world or control ourselves. It's up to us. What is your desire? Learning to know your desire is part of the reason that you're in this world of illusion. How many times have we thought we had the perfect mate, and it turned out not to be? Our desire. What is our desire? Is it selfish, or have we transformed it? Come Sunday, we'll start to learn how to transform it. Does anybody have any questions? Have a beautiful evening. Tonight at 10 o'clock, we'll be giving another class, an advanced class, but it's really not. It's open to everybody. We'll be talking about the mitzvot and the kavanah in doing the mitzvot, the intention that one should have when one is doing a good deed so that you create perfection in your actions. Tomorrow night is a Zohar class where we will read verse by verse from the Zohar and the portion of Pinchas that 2,000 years ago or 800 years ago, depending on who you want to believe, there was a description of good cholesterol and bad cholesterol and why people have heart attacks. That is in the Zohar of this week, because the portion portion this week is dealing with healing and understand how anger affects and shortens our lives. That's just one aspect. All forms of healing are dealt with this week in the Zohar and in the Torah itself. And then Sunday we will have our class. All of the classes are recorded as you see me doing this. They will all be on the website. You're available to hear them over and over again, and I strongly recommend that you do so. For Sunday's class, I ask that you bring the printouts from Class 2 that you'll find on the website in the Revealed Wisdom section of the website. Because I don't know how many people will be coming, I don't want to waste paper. So if you're coming, please print out those things. There's four links. The first one isn't working. I have to figure out why. And the next three, you can print out. The middle two are the important ones. Are there any questions before I sign off?
Shalom.